Good morning. It is good to see you here this morning. So, we begin 40 days of prayer. We're a few days into it. And as is mentioned earlier, if you've not picked it up, we encourage this to be a church-wide thing. You can start at any point. And the first 20 weeks are listed out there in the little journal that you can pick up and use as your prompting guide each day. So, but we're going to be spending some time those first few weeks of the year looking specifically at prayer. John and I will have lessons about that. And as a congregation, to draw closer to God and to each other through this very great gift God has given us. But I don't know if you've ever experienced it. I know that I have, that there's times where I feel like my prayer life is where it should be, and times where I feel like it could be better. Do you ever have that experience? That sometimes you feel like, man, God, we've got it going on. It's just so easy, and it just flows. And other times, you almost have to be disciplined to remind yourself to pray. And so that's really sort of where I want to start this morning, is sort of as we begin this sort of enter into this series of prayer. Is what can I do? Is there a biblical strategy for me to make my prayer life more effective? And so we're going to spend some time this morning, but I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, the first 8 verses. John, chapter 15, first 8 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my Father's words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Jesus makes a very qualifying statement here, and I believe that we really consider he's really talking about who we are as a people, but also our prayer life. There's a real strong dynamic that John begins to bring out. In fact, only in preparation for this lesson did I really realize that I knew that John loved this one word, love, if you will. He uses over and over and over and over again. But I discovered that his other favorite word that he really liked is the word abide. And he says that Jesus says, I'm the vine, and if you want to be fruitful in your life, you must abide in me. And I believe that we would think that the results of our prayer is a kind of spiritual fruitfulness. And so if we feel that perhaps our prayer life is not where it ought to be, where it should be, we need to look at where we're abiding. To abide with Jesus gives power to our asking. Jesus says, if you abide me, you ask and you will receive. It gives power to our prayers by abiding in Jesus. So we don't use the word abide in everyday language. I probably only use it in talking about sermons or John's gospel here. But it means to stay with or to be present with. Think of the word abode. Your abode is where you live. And for us to be in a relationship with God through Jesus that is very fruitful, we live with Jesus. He lives with us. We abide with him. We commune with Him. We are present with Him. So, I really begin thinking in terms of our prayer life is that perhaps there's prayers, there's all different kinds of prayers, and we'll talk a little bit more in the future about Richard Foster's concepts of prayers and how there's all these different kinds of prayers that we pray. But I specifically believe that there's abiding prayers. Now, you know there's moments of the day when you do pray. Maybe it's like when you get up in the morning, or maybe before you have a bite of food, or maybe it's when you go to bed at night. Those are good prayers, the kind of prayers we want you to have. But what about abiding prayers? What about that period of time in which you just realize you've been having a conversation with Christ or with God? Or God and Christ. And it's been a conversation. It's been going over in your head and over in your heart. Maybe it's a contemplation of some struggle you're up against. Or some direction you're seeking to take. Or some direction you're seeking to have. But it's an abiding prayer. And it's really when we feel there's a closeness with Christ. It's a subjective experience. So, in your life, in your experience, where and when and with what people do you feel the closeness of Christ? I can't answer that for you. It's a personal experience. It's subjective. But there's moments in your life when you feel closer to the Lord. Right? You just feel He's right there with you. You feel His presence. And I'm saying in those moments when you're in that mode of prayer, you're having an abiding prayer. And this closeness to Christ empowers us to be free in asking. John's going to play off this ideal of abiding and asking. But it's very important that when we get really, really close to Jesus, I think we get really, really bold in what we ask. When we really begin to embrace this presence of Jesus in our life, the closeness in which we at our soul's level desire the most, we get serious about that, things happen. Another occasion in John 18, 31 through 32, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus is talking about these people who sort of had a religious system that they knew pretty well, the Jews. They had centuries to develop it. And Jesus is offering them alternative experience. From all the rhetoric and teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the doctrine and stuff, they so hard to try to observe. Jesus says, "Listen, I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about you abiding with me. To make your home with me. To make your presence with me and my word. And if you do this, you're truly my disciples. If you're really mindful of who I am and being with me, you're truly my disciples. And in doing that, you're going to discover the truth, and the truth will make you free." When we come to Jesus, I mentioned last week, I was 12 years old when I became a Christian. When I came to Jesus, I had a bit of knowledge. I've been raised in church, I've been taught, had a bit of knowledge. But I will say, this many years later, I know a little bit more. And a relationship with Jesus begins with a formational knowledge that we need to know who He is and accept who He is and confess who He is and begin a life of knowing. But the only way you really get to know somebody is you got to spend time with them. You got to get to know them. And the more you spend time with them, the more you know them. In fact, by abiding, staying present with Jesus, is the only way we know the true freedom we have. The longer we stay, the more we know. The longer we stay, the more we know. When we get really serious about this personal connection with Jesus, and we get really, really mindful of it, prayer is the consequence of having that relationship. Prayer just flows from us when we have that kind of present of being. In the Gospel of John, and in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, all the writings of John, when you look at it, the word abide is only used 32 times in the New Testament, all total. That's all the other writers, 32 times. 29 of the 32 times, guess who uses the word? John does. John's also the writer who uses the word love probably more than anybody else. So loving and abiding, abiding and loving is one dimension of the same thing, basically. Being present, being with. So when Jesus says to his disciples, if you abide in me, ask and you will receive, he really means when we really get to know him, when we really get to understand him, when we really feel a closeness to him. I'm of the belief that God hears our prayers. I don't think that God stuffs his ears up and says, I'm not going to listen to you. I think God in his omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent self hears all prayers. But I think abiding prayers are different. Because abiding prayers are informed prayers. If you've really worked on your relationship with Jesus Christ and you've created more and more depth and more presence and more awareness and more mindfulness about it, it's very easy to know what to ask. Abiding prayers focus first on being present with Jesus, then on the desires of the petitioner. It would take a lot of practice. I'm not naive. But what if I had a period of time each day or on a regular basis that I'm going to say, okay, this is going to be a prayer time that I'm going to focus in on an abiding prayer. And I'm not going to ask anything of Jesus at all until I feel a closeness and presence and oneness with him. I do whatever it takes. I put myself in that special place. Or I put myself with a special people. Or I infuse myself maybe with an inspiring song. Something that makes me feel close to Jesus. Maybe invoking him, you know, Jesus, just be with me now. And just do not move one step further to have that sense of awareness and feeling. And when I do, I'm ready to start praying. But don't pray before I feel that. It's a different way of thinking about praying, isn't it? About not moving in prayer to have a feeling of the presence of Jesus. It's a different way. We just finished the holiday season. Let me ask you this. How many of you were mindful of loved ones who've gone on during this past holiday season? Raise your hands. Did you at any moment during this past few weeks have a sense of their abiding presence? Just felt them almost like being there. Anybody? Some of you shaking your head? Yeah. Yeah. So we by our nature can sense this power, this presence, by our memory, by our experience. And I believe abiding prayer is when we get to that moment in which I say, okay, Jesus, I want to be present with you. I want to be fully focused on you. I don't want any other distractions. And I'm going to wait here till I get there. And now that I'm there, I'm going to start talking to you. It's a different way of thinking about prayer. And We've got a lot of prompts to help you with prayer, but I'm talking about praying an abiding prayer. A prayer with your first focus in on Jesus, and then let that experience inform where you go in prayer. I think that that's what Jesus is saying. If you abide in Him as He is in the Father, then He's really easy to answer our prayer. Abiding transforms you. And a transform you is a more informed prayer. Or prayer. When we really focus in on what someone else's desire is, it's really easy to get a yes. Tammy and I will be married for 32 years come March. Okay? 32. I've got 32 years of knowing her. Okay? So I sort of wouldn't go out last night. We'd sort of been in the house most of the day yesterday. So I knew if I asked her if she wanted to go out to eat to the specific place, I would get a yes. Okay? So Tammy's favorite place to eat is Mama Rosa's. So I said, you want to go out to eat tonight? Well, maybe. Mama Rosa's, yes. And I don't know how many times we've been there. We were there when they were in the old location many times. We lived real close to them in the old location. But I know that 98% of the time she ordered the same thing. I can almost order for her at Mama Rosa's. Okay? Because I've cared enough to know what matters to her and what's important, what she likes. It was an informed question, and it was easy to get a yes. When I think about abiding with Jesus, when I think about making Him that important to me, my prayers are now informed. I know what He desires for me. Psalm 37 verse 4 is old wisdom, but it applies here. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give the desires of your heart. It's not that God says, you know, here's a blank check, you know, fill in the amount. No. Love me. Delight in me. Let me shape you. Let me mold you. Let what I want matter to you. And it's real easy to say yes to that. An abiding prayer, a prayer focus in on first experiencing Jesus' presence in our life, then moving into petition. It's really easy for God to hear, for God to say yes to. When I delight myself in someone, I will myself to know them better. I will myself to know them better. I look for ways to know them better. I make it my priority to know them better. And by knowing them better, I learn informed asking. That may not be a way to think of prayer. But I think informed asking is a way to look at prayer. I think informed asking means that I sort of know what God's will is for me, and that He is inclined to want to answer that to the affirmative. Yes. And for me to be able to be shaped and informed by this relationship with Jesus. We looked at this passage a little bit this past Wednesday night when we looked about learning about God's will in our Wednesday night Bible study class relationship to prayer. But John said this in 1 John. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. I think this is a product of abiding prayer. I think sometimes we feel like, well, you know, these prayers I'm asking are not really being answered, and so I really don't have the faith and trust in Scripture that maybe I should. But I think the reason they're not being answered the way we want them to is because they weren't abiding prayers to start with. They weren't things that were informed, requests informed by the right kind of knowledge of God and the right kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. If I want more than anything to have a closeness and presence and awareness of Jesus Christ in my life, if that's my primary goal, and then I enter prayer, I'm in a different kind of praying. I'm no longer just treating God as a big vending machine. God, I want this and 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 this. And by the way, peace on earth. That God is just not a person I just give a bunch of petitions to, a bunch of requests or demands. That if we have the right kind of relationship with Jesus, Jesus, if I am the vine and ye are the branches. If you abide in me, you bear fruit. And I think that fruitfulness is seen in our spiritual walk. That fruitfulness is seen in our prayer life. The fruitfulness is seen in what we produce in the kingdom. Have you ever heard this expression, work smarter, not harder? Anyone heard? Yeah. You think it's a good approach? Yeah, I think probably pretty good approach, you know, to work smarter, not harder. And that's not attributing, you know, some great benefit in laziness or idleness. It's just simply saying, be smart in what you do. Yeah. Work smarter, not harder. And I think sometimes that we walk away with prayer thinking the reason you don't have is because you don't ask hard enough. Pray harder. And while there is some spiritual implications of the necessity of repetitive prayers and that asking the Father certain things, because I think that's a formative thing for us, but I think that perhaps we need to consider this expression. Pray smarter, not harder. So what do I mean by pray smarter? Focus in on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, bottom line, straight as I can make it to you, that is the only thing that's going to save us, is relationship with Jesus Christ. Only thing. There's nothing else. Being good is not going to do it. Being nice is not going to do it. You know, filling the church every Sunday is not going to do it. It's that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's the only thing that's going to save you. Only thing going to save me. When I get really serious about that and begin focusing on that and making that my heart's desire, my prayer life is a whole lot smarter. I'm not asking for things that are basically for my own benefit. I'm asking for things that relate to the glory of God. And that's what Jesus said in the passage in John. By this the Father is glorified. So we need to sort of spend some time seriously in 2018 developing a deeper, more meaningful, ever-abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. If we abide in Him, He hears us and will give us what we ask. So it's an ideal of working on a, not just the discipline of prayer, which we do need, but it's a heart desire to work harder at getting closer to Christ, abiding in Him. Our prayer will be informed, and I can't help but believe that it will turn into like a long conversation with Jesus. That it becomes something that you're doing as you're driving down the road. It's something you're doing as you're doing some task at home or some task at work. It's an ongoing conversation with Jesus. Because you know what? You feel He's right there. See, this ability to have some experience of transcendence, and that's what I mean, asked you earlier, have you had ever experienced when you felt a departed loved one's been present with you or just their spirit's been with you? That ability to feel transcendence is a God-given gift. And God gave us because we can have that spiritual experience with Him and His Son. That this moment is out of the ordinary because this is not normally how I feel. And because I'm in this moment, I think I can have a really honest, sincere conversation with Jesus about what my heart's desire is. But caution, the harder we work at getting to know Jesus, the more we're shaped and changed into His image, that we're transformed. I know that those of us who've grown up in church and been taught to pray a certain way will always say in the name of Jesus or in His name or somehow we do that. And I think it's sometimes formula, that it's just a formula how we learn to pray, so we pray it. But let me make this really clear. That phrase has no magical power. It's not like, okay, because I said this makes all my prayer acceptable. In fact, I believe it's more than just saying in His name. What do I mean by that? That means that I'm in His presence. I'm in His will. He's in my way of being. He's in my way of living. He's in my way of abiding. Because if I'm not really careful, I can make prayer life a lot like idolatry. It's not really meaningful. I have this this magical formula. If I say it right and get all the elements in there and put that on the end of it, it's like God's going to, He's going to prove it all. In fact, Paul said we really struggle because we didn't even know really how to ask. So the Holy Spirit has to help us out, intercede for us. So, what do I mean? How to bring this to a close? Better prayer means better abiding. John and I can't give you a step 1, 2, 3. This is it. This is going to fix everybody's prayer life. This is a panacea. It's like a pill everybody can take that fixes everything. But your own personal pursuit of your deepest heart's desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, being mindful of Jesus and His presence in your life, will make you have a better prayer life. I know some of you, for known you for a while, some of you could talk to a fence post. I mean, it wouldn't. Yeah, Linda's laughing. Okay. But there's no stranger. It's just someone you hadn't met yet. And you could sit down and talk to them forever, couldn't you? Yeah, some of you could. Yeah. And some of you, it's like, oh, it's the most difficult thing in the world. You're just not equipped that way. But let it be someone that you know, or let it be someone you feel close to, you will talk their ear off. So it goes with the relationship with Jesus Christ. If Jesus is just an acquaintance, your prayer life, it'll be there, but it will not be nearly as fruitful for you as if you felt as if Jesus was your best friend. That Jesus was someone you had a relationship with. That Jesus was someone you spent a lot of time with and knowing and experiencing. So we live really, really busy lives full of distraction. I mean, that is a reality. We live busy lives full of distraction. If we're not really cautious and careful, Jesus gets pushed out. So, my encouragement to you as we begin this process is that for you to just set special time aside, whatever works best for you. For some of you, it may be early in the morning before anyone else gets up. For some of you, it may be late at night when everyone else is asleep. For some of you, it may be a special time during the day. But to say, oh, Jesus, this is your time. Help me focus solely on You. And when I begin feeling You present with me and me present with You, I'm going to start praying. But until I do, I'm going to sit with You. And then when I get the feeling that you allow me to feel, I'll move forward with my request. It's strange. It's a different way of praying. Okay? It's going to be something I'm going to have to work on. I can think of moments in my life where Jesus was just there with me. And prayer just came. It's a conversation. So better prayer means better abiding. If you're here this morning and you need help, John has created this reality, I believe. I think he spoke the reality. That this is not a place of judgment. This is a place of peace. And if you need to experience something in your life to shift, to change, to move, to proclaim, to declare, whatever you need to do to make things where you can have that kind of abiding presence of Jesus, and you need some obstacle help to be pushed aside and moved, we'll be honored to do that with you this morning. Or this very day, the first Sunday in 2018, the very first Lord's Day, will be a great day to be your birthday. To declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be buried with Him in baptism, and to be born again. If we can assist you, Adam has chosen a song for you. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song?